Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
And hello again to everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside Steve and Julian, and you jump every time I say award-winning.
Well, there's a little story. These are supposed to be timeless, but last week you did not say award-winning, and in fact you said I was going to be fired after the show, so apparently last week's show was good enough to win an award and get me my job back for at least a week.
Whatever makes you feel good. But it's just because we don't have the awards on the wall.
That's
They're all packed away.
That's right.
One of these days I'll put them
up. And you never show them to me.
I don't want to cover up the beautiful Subaru of Gwinnett logo.
That's exactly right. Now you're smart. You're a smart businessman, Mike.
They support us. They're partners.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
All right. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got two wonderful business leaders here in the studio. From BB&T, we have the market president, Bruce Sharp. And from Saia, we have Ray Ramu. He is the chief customer officer. So welcome, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming to the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning. We will start with you, Bruce. And Bruce Sharp, BB&T, you're a bank. We all know that. But tell us all about BB&T, what you do there, and wax poetic about BB&T.
Well, Mike, thanks for having me on the show. And waxing poetic and banking, it doesn't normally go together. Congratulations.
It will today.
Congratulations to both of you for the award-winning show that you're producing today.
Thank you.
But I am the market president with BB&T, and my role at the bank is to really help clients achieve economic success and financial security. That's what we do every day. I do that by spending a lot of time with our associates, helping our talent grow, be fulfilled in their work. And so I spend a lot of time coaching them and helping them in the marketplace. So that's primarily my role, is to be out in the marketplace, engaging clients and helping solve financial problems that they might have along the way. And probably a secondary role for me is to really be the face of BB&T in Northeast Atlanta. And so I spend a fair amount of time getting involved and engaged in community activities and trying to spread the good word about BB&T.
Well, you kind of touched upon it right there, because banking's not just about money and figures. It's about relationships. And you said you're the face for this part of Atlanta. So talk about Bruce Sharp and your background and what got you into banking.
Well, that's an interesting question. I grew up in the construction business, and my dad owned an excavating and paving business. And so from the time I was 12 to I was 21, I worked on asphalt paving crews, shoveling blacktop and hand tamping, all the hard stuff. And my father was the primary salesperson, and he would take me out to meet clients and show me how to bid jobs. And from that experience, I knew that I wanted to have a job where I was going to be interacting with people on a daily basis. And he also taught me the real estate business. So there were a lot of takeaways for me in that time frame. And he used to joke to me that I'd make a good banker, because you have to be diplomatic. You're always in the middle. And you need to come in and solve a problem and make everyone leave the table happy. He also told me, and he was wrong on this, he said, banking's a very stable industry. You'll do really well in that. Fortunately for me, I was able to join up with BB&T 16 years ago, and it's one of the most strong financial stability companies in the country. So I was fortunate to hook up with them.
Mike started the interview by asking, or by, you know, saying, oh, you're a bank, and then telling you to wax poetic. I think when everybody hears the word bank, everybody has some kind of picture that comes into their mind. Talk a little bit specifically about BB&T and the spectrum of what your bank can do for not only individual clients, but also business clients. We're Gwinnett Business Radio. So talk to me as a business owner, how you can help. What are the spectrum of products? And then, you know, maybe a little bit of what separates you from some of your worthy competitors.
Sure. The banking industry is highly competitive, and we are a full service financial services institution. So banks, people think when they hear about a bank, they think loans, deposits, right? But for the most part, we do much more than that. We don't like to have conversations and lead with product. Our job and my job is to train our team members to meet with business clients primarily, and that's what we do. We're dealing with businesses with revenue typically over $5 million up to $7,500 million. And what we do is we sit down with them face-to-face on a regular basis, and we really assess their financial needs, the capital formation of the business, the cash management of the business, employee benefits, risk management, what the needs of the individual associates of that firm are. And so ours is more of an exploration of needs and trying to assess what the right solution might be for that client. And that's primarily what separates us from, I think, a lot of companies, is we are not going to lead with product. We're going to lead with advice. So we take a consultative approach with each engagement with the client.
We're talking with Bruce Sharp. He's the market president for BB&T here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And you mentioned you've been there for 16 years, which I think says a lot, because typically bankers will move from bank to bank. That happens a lot. But I'm sure in your time there, you've seen a lot of changes, whether it be technology or so forth, within the banking industry. What has kept BB&T, made you guys stay successful over the years?
Well, it's a great question. And pardon me. One of the things I've noted over the years is there's a fair amount of movement among bankers, and I really feel bad for clients because they're the ones who get caught up in that, but it really is an industry dynamic, and my fellow bankers that are listening probably know that. We have a lot of consolidation in the industry, and that consolidation drives a lot of change. So, for example, when I started off in the business, I worked for a small bank that was acquired by another bank that was acquired by SunTrust, and then ultimately I chose to seek out a bank that I wanted to work with, and BB&T was that choice.
Well, you made a right choice, obviously, for 16 years. And like you said, I mean, because it's a relationship business, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they move on. What's as far as the businesses that you work with, what are some of the things that you can do? How do you support business in the local communities?
Okay, well, I think you and I, Mike, may have met at a community activity. One of the things that we like to do is support the local business community through our Chamber of Commerce. And Dr. Kaufman does an excellent job here in Northeast Atlanta running the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. Yep. And the Impact Awards was a recent event that we sponsored, and it was a way for us to acknowledge the contribution of a lot of business leaders in Northeast Atlanta and also give back a little bit. We also get involved in other community activities, Rotary clubs, foundations, things of that nature. So we will spend a lot of time doing community activities like that. And I just realized I don't think I answered your other question about how we're helping businesses grow the last time through. One of the primary ways we're helping businesses grow is we're trying to bring the resources of the bank to the companies in this marketplace. And recently, for example, we brought in the head of our capital markets group to talk with clients about jumpstarting the U.S. economy. We had 100 clients in the Atlanta area at that session. Clients walked away from that telling us the information was relevant, it was specific to them, and they were able to use what they took away from that. So we do try to touch clients in a lot of different ways.
You talked about being the, or I guess Mike talked about you being the face of BB&T in the community, and you've talked about how you're helping business owners. Talk a little bit about BB&T away from business, some of the things you guys do in the community that might not be tied to the chamber or might not be tied to an event for business owners like you talked about, because that's another thing, being the face and being a well-established and well-respected company like BB&T. There's got to be plenty of things that you guys do to give back to the community completely outside of business but as a business. Talk about that.
That's a good question. I think, well, I'll start by answering that question and focusing a little bit on the mission and vision of the bank. And one of the aspects of the mission of BB&T, and I'll just run through it quickly, but we really are trying to make the world a better place by helping clients achieve economic success and financial security. We're also trying to create an environment where our associates can grow, be fulfilled in their work. And then to the heart of your question, we understand that banks and banking in general is really just a combination of all the assets and liabilities of every resident, every business in the community. And so to the extent our communities are growing and, more importantly, prospering, banks, BB&T, we're going to prosper and grow. So one of the things we do on an annual basis is we have what's called a lighthouse project. Every associate takes time off the job, 4 hours per associate, and we go out and do various community projects. There are food co-ops, different nonprofits around Gwinnett, all of Atlanta metropolitan area, where Habitat for Humanity, for example, all kinds of projects like that where we go in there, donate time primarily, also some money as a way to give back to the communities. And all of our associates also serve on a lot of different community boards. I'm on the Community Foundation Board of Northern Georgia and on the advisory board, and it's a very well-connected organization in a way we can give back both monetarily but through contribution of time.
And you said that you allow the associate, I mean, you guys encourage and allow the associates. I'm sure you guys have resources that you say, hey, here's some good ones you might want to check out. Do you also let the associates kind of, if they have a passion, if they want to take that time away and go to something very near and dear to their heart, do you guys encourage that as well?
We do more than encourage it. We actually, that's how the projects get started. They come up with the idea, we come up with the idea, and we float it up through the bank, and they say, yes, great, go for it. Here's some money. go out and make it happen.
Then I'm going to kind of use that as a segue to another question, because I was curious and intrigued. You started off the interview by talking about your associates. You started off the interview by talking about your team. Talk a little bit about the people on your team. Talk a little bit about the associates, what you love about them, and how BB&T stands behind them, or how BB&T just lets them loose because they're showing so much promise and what they're doing. I mean, just talk about the team you get to work with.
Well, that's probably the part of my job that I'm most excited about. Last year, I spent a fair amount of time, going out and actually recruiting folks. So joining Houston Bass and I were Adam Talsig, Blake Ober, Preston Etheridge, Jessica Parrish, and Andrew Mann. Those folks joined our team over the last few years, and they are true professionals. I say I spend a fair amount of time coaching. I think they coach up as much as I coach to them. And what they do every day is make BB&T a very personal bank to clients. So those individuals are well-trained. They go out into the marketplace every day, and they sit down and again, ask the questions the clients, understand a little bit about them personally, get to know them, get to know their business, and then they can execute on the decision. I think what attracts the associates to BB&T, though, is the fact that we're a very decentralized organization. We like to keep the decision-making very close to the client, and that does enable those who have an entrepreneurial spirit, to the extent you can have one in a highly regulated industry. But those who are in the industry do like the fact that we can call up a credit partner who's a few miles down the road and get a decision for our client. So being able to react and be responsive to clients is really the foundation of a community bank model, keeping decision-making local to that customer. They really appreciate that. And I think that's what attracts both associates and clients to the bank.
You talked about how you guys are set for growth. And as we move forward to 2015, what excites you? What's on the horizons for BB&T?
Well, BB&T, I think clients are excited about the full-service nature of our lineup. We can help them start up, we can help them go public, and all the activities and in between. I think what excites me about the corporation is we've stayed true to our mission and vision and values. That served us well during the downturn, and that's really what set us apart. I think the regulators have identified us as doing compliance the right way, and so that's positioned us well to be able to go out and acquire companies. We're one of the few banks in the country that's permitted at our size to go out and actually buy a company. So we've announced and closed on an acquisition in Texas this year already. We're closing in the second quarter an acquisition in Cincinnati, or near Cincinnati. It's in northern Kentucky. And our biggest acquisition is Susquehanna, which is about an $18 billion company in Pennsylvania. So I'm excited that we're strong enough, have the wherewithal, the confidence of the regulators to, and our shareholders, of course, to go out and make acquisitions. And for someone like myself, we like to work for a growing company that's dynamic. And I think that gives a lot of momentum for our associates, too. They really are excited about working for a growth organization.
Bruce, I know this is going to surprise you, but at times I can be slightly ignorant. So, bear with me. I'm going to ask a question a little bit about your history. BB&T kind of grew up as a Southeastern bank, the way I understand it. I believe it might have started out in North Carolina, so you can correct me if I'm making any mistakes.
What does the BB&T stand for originally?
It's Branch Banking and Trust Company. We were formed back in 1872. Great name of the individual that started. His name was Alpheus Branch. So if you want to be a banker, last name being Branch helps. And your notes are correct. We started off in Wilson, North Carolina. Our headquarters now is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
And so how are you all the way nationwide now? Or you talked about some of the acquisitions. Clearly, those are places you guys are growing. So talk a little bit about your reach now and what you hope your reach is going to grow into in the next few years.
We have several lines of business that are national in scope. That we operate through our capital markets and through our insurance subsidiaries. BB&T is the sixth largest insurance brokerage in the country. But if you're talking about the core community bank, our footprint now, and including the acquisition of Susquehanna later this year, will be Pennsylvania, New Jersey, South, all the way to Florida, all the states in between, the state of West Virginia through Alabama, all the states in between, and Texas. So that we're basically we've always thought of ourselves as kind of a Southeastern United States Bank, but we obviously have national platforms for certain lines of business, and we are reaching up into the Northeast now.
Well, and Mike talked about the competition, and you guys talked. I loved, he said he was diplomatic, and then when you talked about banking, he said, a fair amount, get some turnover. That was a very diplomatic answer. But I think what you guys should be commended for, and I'll give you a chance to just pontificate a little more on it, is the idea that you guys are, while you've gotten bigger, there is still that community feel. There is still the local decision making. So the ability to be a big bank, but not a big bank, that's a very good niche that you guys are in. And I'm assuming you guys still want to stay there even as you expand your footprint.
Yes, the bank's core business on the business side has been small business. We do have a capital markets group that plays with larger companies, of course. That has been a very recent addition to us. For us, we've historically made our inroads with the small business and then helped them grow to a middle market size company. So the bulk of our portfolio looks like a small business, like a community bank. We do have middle market, what we define as middle market, really $75 million in revenue up to, say, $500 million in revenue. We're making great inroads there as well. But you're right, the bank's history has been helping small companies grow into bigger companies, helping them exit their business, which is a big theme right now out in the business world. So we help the companies buy other companies. We help them sell. We help them with their wealth that they create from the sale of their businesses. We help them preserve it. And then we also help with mergers and acquisitions with the culture of these companies after they merge. So it's a fun place to work. So you can be a local banker working with small companies, but provide them the resources of a very large company. And clients tell us that makes us different.
Best of all worlds. Well, you're obviously doing something right. The institution's been around for 140 years. So congratulations on the growth. Thank you for joining us today. For those business leaders, business owners that have been listening, and they're like thinking, this is an institution I want to work with, or you're a gentleman I want to work with, give us your contact information, where they can find out more about BB&T.
Well, great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your time today. Our headquarters is here in Duluth. My direct dial is 678-957-3814. You can also email me, bsharp@bbnt.com. Thanks, Mike.
And the website is bbt.com.
Yes, sir.
No little and or anything like that, just BBT.
That's right.
You know, Mike, before you go to your next guest,
yes,
I have something that is going to get a reaction out of everybody in this studio and everybody that's listening online, and that's the word love. You have a reaction, I have a reaction, everybody has a thought and a reaction to that. But you know what? Love, it's what makes a Subaru. Get big savings and enjoy our hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join our family today. Come in and see the difference. Are you already a Subaruist? Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. And I just want to say thank you to Subaru of Gwinnett Atlanta for sponsoring this studio and helping sponsor this show.
Wasn't sure where you were going with that at first, but well done.
Thank you.
Yes.
Do I get an award for that? Well, we'll talk about that.
That's why you read that this week and not me. You did a much better job. We now know what your role is going to be for all future shows moving forward. All right. Again, a big thank you to Bruce Sharp with BB&T for joining us here on the program. Our next guest comes from Saia. You've probably seen their trucks all over the roads. I know I have.
I have.
Ray Ramu is the Chief Customer Officer, newly appointed, by the way. Good morning, Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Saia, tell us about your company, the Saia. See, I've already messed it
up. You messed it up. You got it the first time.
You're not the first. It happens all the time. Sala.
Probably won't be the last time the show
salsa.
Either. Saia, salsa, Saia. I like it.
It's technically Saia LTL Freight.
Saia okay. LTL Freight. There you go.
Tell us about your company, because like I say, I see your vehicles all over the place, so you guys are doing great.
We're doing very good. This is Johns Creek is our home office. Company's been in business since 1924, so we've been around for over 90 years, similar to that other transportation company down in South Atlanta there, Delta Airlines. They actually started in 1924 as well. We're predominantly a logistics transportation provider. Our core competency is our LTL freight transportation services. We own also a division which is a logistics arm that offers truckload brokerage services and transportation management services.
What is LTL?
Less than truckload.
What does that mean to the novice? The people like us have no idea what that means.
So there's truckload. So truckload would be like one shipment on one truck. So like a full load. Less than truckload would be multiple shipments on one truck, one trailer.
Do most freight companies also do LTL, or are you guys a little unique? Is that something everybody does? Is that something only a few people do?
There's some competitors that will that own a truckload division, but for the most part, you're either in the truckload space or in the LTL space.
So if I'm a business owner, and you are going to see that we're novices at this when we ask these questions, but if I'm a business owner and I'm just getting into needing some logistics, where should I start? What should I be looking for? What questions should I be asking?
Well, I think the internet is a great place to start because there's so much information on transportation companies. And from there, I think, you know, you reach out to the company, you bring in a representative, you learn about the companies in terms of their history, their service levels, their commitment to quality. And then from there, you forge a relationship.
Ray, tell us about the background of yourself, how you got into the business. And I understand there's some changing roles going on right now. So talk about that.
A lot of changes at Saia right now. I got into business when I was 20 years old. I needed a job. And there was an opportunity for me to join a small trucking company in Long Island, New York. Besides needing a job, what was really cool is they actually had a gas pump at the terminal so I could fill my car up with free gas. So that was my entrance into the transportation industry. So I started Saia in 1999, so going on my 18th year with the company.
And when you started, when you were 20, I don't think you were chief customer officer
No.
at that point. It's been just the good old-fashioned American story of just starting somewhere and kind of moving up the ladder, right?
I worked my way up the ladder. I worked for a couple of different small carriers up in the Northeast market. And as I moved down to Florida with Saia, I had opportunity to do a bunch of different positions with the company, different sales management positions, operations, and those types of things. And 2007, I was promoted to Vice President of Sales for our Eastern Division. And as you all know, May 1st, I was promoted to this new fancy title, Chief Customer Officer.
We'll break that down. What do you do now as the CCO?
A lot of things. So in my area of responsibility, I have marketing, customer service, and sales that report up through me. But in reality, I touch every department in our company. I mean, my primary responsibility is to make sure that we're meeting our customers' expectations and that their experience of doing business with us is one that's going to want to bring them back to continue to do business with our company. The easiest way to say what does a chief customer officer do, it's really about accountability. Every department and every company out there makes different decisions every day for their individual needs. Those needs and those decisions that they make can sometimes impact the customers, right? So my role is to make sure that those decisions we make have the customer's best interest in mind.
Now, when you answered my question about if I'm a business owner and I'm starting the process of looking for some logistics, you said go on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that and I look at different companies. What is going to set Saia apart, both on the internet search, but then also when I sit down and talk to you? What's going to set you guys apart from the other logistics companies out there?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that separate us. The first, the fact that we've been in business for 90 years. I think there's one other major transportation company that can say they've been in business for that long. I think that says a lot about our culture, the fact that we've been able to work through the ebbs and flows of a very volatile and competitive market. Bruce talked about the banking industry being competitive. Our industry is extremely competitive. And the fact that I think we have a strong culture, I kind of say that when you look at our company in terms of who we compete against, we're the seventh largest non-union trucking company in the United States, $1.3 billion in sales. We're competing with some of the biggest carriers in the industry. And the fact that we're able to do that says a lot about the strength of our people, our policies and procedures, the things that we focus on from a service and quality perspective, from a technology perspective.
You talked about the company being around for a while, and that's very commendable. Where do you see the company going? Where do you see the company 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
We just started venturing into this non-asset-based industry on the logistics side. So I think we'll continue to invest in some areas there.
What does that mean?
Logistics, it's non-asset-based. So in other words, we have a division that, so if you had a need for truckload services or something that was an expedited-type shipment, they'll outsource that to other companies versus having their own, versus us having the equipment to do that.
I got you.
And they also have technology. So a transportation management system allows customers to optimize rates, pull different sales reports as it relates to transportation, those types of things. So they offer that type of service as well.
Is the non-asset based kind of you're outsourcing, but it's a way of kind of referring businesses to other businesses that can do something better than you can, and vice versa. And it's kind of sharing. Is that and you said it's kind of new. So how did that come about?
Which it's really more about offering a solution to our customers. It's like a value add. So our core competency is that less than truckload shipment, 1,200 pound shipment that's going to go from, you know, Atlanta to Chicago, and it needs to be there, you know, in 2 days. This logistics arm, you know, for things that we don't necessarily do as a company, we have that solution for our customers. So when the customer says, can you do X? Can you handle an expedited shipment to the Northeast where we don't currently cover? Yes, we can do that for you.
It's the beauty of American ingenuity, because for however many years when you guys were starting, we're a trucking company. And now it's, no, we're logistics. We've taken what we've done for so many years, and now we can help you do that even if we can't do it for you.
Correct.
I love it.
What are some of the challenges that you face in your industry?
The competition, as Bruce talked about, I mean, that's certainly a challenge for us. But I think the biggest issue facing the transportation industry today is really more about the driver shortage, which is very well known across the country. I mean, if you look at the average age of a truck driver today, 80% of the drivers on the road today are 35 years or older. There's just not a lot of people that are wanting to, you know, get into truck driving and to go over the road and be away from home for 3 and 4 nights in a row. And, you know, it's hard labor to some degree. There's a lot of physical activity that's involved. So I think that's not as attractive. So that's really a big challenge for us. And so because from a capacity constraint perspective, as the economy grows, it puts more pressures on the transportation industry. Fewer trucking companies, fewer drivers to move the freight across the country becomes a big issue.
I'm going to ask my one dumb question that I typically ask every show, and that is, you've been in the business for quite some time. I'm assuming at some point you might have gotten behind a wheel to try to drive one of these big rigs.
One time.
Yep. And what happened?
I made it around the terminal. That was before we had a very stringent HR department. Today I would get fired for doing that, for not having a CDL, a commercial driver's license. But I had to prove a driver that I could do it in order for him to take a certain route. Long story, happened about 15 years ago as a terminal manager, but it worked well.
And you did it.
He did.
Right?
He did. He took the route.
Okay.
But
you were right.
And it makes you appreciate the talent and skill of the drivers. I mean, it's not like you and I driving our car.
Driving a tractor trailer is extremely difficult, especially really any city, but especially in a city like Atlanta, because of the congestion and the traffic. So one of the things we do, we have our salespeople, we have our vice president of marketing who just went out and spent the day with a driver, because you really get a feel for what they go through day in and day out from a road congestion perspective, from a customer perspective, the labor aspect, and all the things that we do every day to get our customer shipments delivered in the manner they expect them to be delivered in.
So this issue of drivers, I'm sure, is being talked about in the entire industry.
Very much so.
And this, you can't tell me a solution in 20 seconds here on the air, but what are some of the things that have been talked about? What are some of the, you know, is there any, you know, I'm sure there's hope. What are some of the things you guys see that can help change that trend?
Well, one of the things that we do at our companies, we have a number of dock workers around the country. So we're in 34 states across the country. We have almost 9,000 employees, 3,000 dock workers. We give those dock workers an opportunity, for those that want to get promoted and learn to drive. We have four dock to driver schools around the country. We pay for all the training, all the education, and allows them an opportunity to make a little bit more money and get a promotion.
What this might be a little bit of a loaded question, so answer it however you feel comfortable.
Okay.
But if I'm a truck driver, you know, what's the, you know, yeah, it might be hard to be away from home, but I'm sure you guys pay well.
Extremely well.
What's the range depending on where I live and that kind of stuff? Because I think that's one of the things I see it as a little bit of a cultural issue. Everybody's going to college and there is good money and a good living to be earned using your hands and doing good hard work.
Sure.
So I expect?
What's in terms of like an annual salary?
Sure.
For a city driver, you can make between $55,000 to $65,000 a year.
A good.
And incredible benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. The other side. Apart from the free gas that maybe they get on a turn. Well, that was your
deal. Free gas was for my car.
That was your bonus. Right, yeah.
We're talking with Ray Ramu with Saia, and you talked earlier about how competitive your industry is. How do you find the new business? How do you get those new clients?
Well, we have close to 300 sales resources around the country at different levels, field sales, national account sales, we call them the bigger corporate accounts. Here in Johns Creek at our corporate office, we have an inside sales department, so we work through a number of leads that they help process and filter out to the sales organization.
Is there a vertical industry or market that you serve more than others? What type of companies do you typically work with?
If you were to look into one of our trailers, you would see a wide variety of different areas that we do business in, from the chemical side, and so big customers like Sherwin-Williams, BASF, PP&G. We're heavy on the chemical side. We do some retail business as well. Starbucks is one of our very big customers, so please keep buying coffee. We need the support. Lowe's is a big customer, so it's a pretty broad range of customers.
You know, there's an old saying in business, Mike, that nothing happens until a sale is made. But I would also add to that, and then nothing else happens until the product gets to the customer.
Yeah.
And that's what companies like Saia are used for.
Correct.
Ray, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on continuing to move up the ladder, if you will. For those that, you know, business leaders, business owners that are tuned into the show and they're thinking, this is a company that I want to do business with, where can they find more information about Saia?
Saia.com, S-A-I-A.com. Or you can email me at raamu@saia.com as well.
Great. And you're from Long Island?
I'm from Long Island.
Whereabouts?
Well, I grew up in Huntington Station.
Okay.
Lived out in Port Jeff for a while.
You hide the accent well. For a second, I thought you were from Macon, Georgia.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Pretty close.
But you do hide it well.
I knew I liked Ray. I got family in Port Jefferson. I'm from Massapequa.
Oh, are you really? Okay. Yeah. The Baldwin brothers.
I think Seinfeld says that Indian term means land of malls.
Yes, okay. Probably.
That's where he's from. He and Alec Baldwin. You're from where?
Tom Cruise is from that neck of the woods as well. A lot of famous people.
And Mike Salmon.
Including me.
And Ray Ramu nearby.
Ray, thank you very much. Great to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Ray Ramu from Saia here on almost at Sports Radio 92.9. That's my other position. Gwinnett Business Radio. Business Radio X. Quickly before we go, I want to let you know Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out by providing high quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com. Speaking of speedpromarietta.com, one of their clients I got to meet recently, they're at Speed Pro. I was there together. Why are you're amazed that I meet clients away from the studio. We are mobile as well. Bruce Price was the person. He's a great client of Speed Pro Imaging, and we want to give him a chance to talk about what he does. So here is Bruce Price here on Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm talking with Bruce Price, the executive director for Peak Performance Sports and Development Foundation. Bruce, tell me all about your organization. What does your group do?
Well, first of all, Mike, it's good to be with you today. And Peak Performance Sports and Development Foundation was founded with the main cause to develop the next generation of empowered women. We're in our 10th year of serving young female student athletes from around the state of Georgia, ranging in age from 9 to 17 years old. Really, there are four components of our operations. First, academics, athletics, community service, and leadership. And the thing that we really focus on, that's our blue ocean, is not only do we help them develop their athletic skills, specifically in basketball, but we focus on their academic and their character development such that they become the full-fledged, well-rounded person and prepared for life after the ball stops bouncing.
Is the idea for the girls that are athletically gifted to go on and help them get college scholarships?
Absolutely, Mike. Over the past five graduation classes, we've had 81 graduates, 61 have signed into the NCAA. We've generated $4 million in athletic scholarships for young student-athletes from around the state of Georgia. Clearly, our goal is to move to 100% that every high school graduate that comes out of our program will position themselves to get an athletic scholarship. But those who don't are so strong academically that they get academic scholarships. And what's so important about that is we simply use basketball to get education paid for so when they graduate, they don't come out with any kind of student loan debt that puts them in a deficit when they begin life.
Almost sounds too good to be true. So for the athlete that is interested or the parents that would like to find out more, how would they get involved? Is there a cost? Talk about how they would approach you.
There's a couple of things. First, they can find us at www.peakperformancebball.org, peakperformancebball.org. There are program fees associated, but because we're a Georgia nonprofit organization, we do have supporters that support us financially. So we do not let finances stand in the way of a girl taking full advantage of the services and the offerings that we have. And one of the big things that we just launched last year was what we call our Basketball and Leadership Academy. This is where not only we put some tremendous work on the court, but we go into the classroom and we talk about all the subjects that are challenging to our young female athletes, everything from social media to relationships with parents to communication skills to decision making. And we really put a lot of work in, again, to developing those student athletes off the court. And really, that's been our Blue Ocean strategy. We have three girls currently in the Ivy League, two at Harvard, one at Princeton. We've got them at Virginia, University of Miami. And what we've done is created a stereotype that the college coaches will call and say, "Coach, I know you have good girls." So because of the kind of student athletes we're turning out, some of the top academic universities in America are coming to recruit our kids.
Is there an area of the city, of the metro Atlanta area that you serve, or can the kids come from anywhere?
At this point, we cover about 150-mile radius of Atlanta. We go as far south as Dublin, Georgia. We go as far north as Dawsonville, Georgia. We go to Conyers, and we go out west to Douglasville. So we have kids that are coming to us from all over the metro county, metro Atlanta area, and from around the state. Our new strategy is to do what we call a hub-and-spoke strategy. We put programs in these remote areas, like in Dawsonville, Peachtree City. We are going to be expanding to Dublin, Georgia, putting operations there, and then into Covington, Georgia. So now, instead of kids having to come all the way into Atlanta, we can serve them right in their own communities.
You're doing great work, obviously. Now, you are a partner here at Speed Pro Imaging Marietta. You're one of their clients. Talk about the work they've done for you in the past.
Well, Speed Pro has been very instrumental in our basketball and our leadership academy training. As you know, today's young people are visual learners. So as we prepare our business seminars for our kids, we have graphics and visuals and charts and big posters that creates a really vibrant room and create a learning environment. So the thing that Speed Pro does for us is they take our images and they can blow them up to any size that we want them. Their crispness and the quality of their print brings out the vibrant colors, which keeps the kids' attention, and the speed and the quality in which they turn the work around. Like many small companies, we don't give them a lot of runway to get our work done, so we'll call 2 days in advance and we'll need a poster, and they've delivered every time. And when the kids walk into the Leadership Academy and they look around the room and they see these large images, we did one on social media and had a large cell phone with some images on it, and it really created a lot of good conversation because of the imagery that Speed Pro helped us do. And of course, now we're going to be working on some vehicle wraps, so we hope to be a mobile billboard driving around the city, and we will come to Speed Pro for that support as well.
All right, that is Bruce Price. He is one of the clients of Speed Pro Imaging Marietta, and of course, they are one of our partners here. They did these beautiful graphics that you see behind me, Stephen, for Subaru of Gwinnett. So I appreciate his time the other day. A quick reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also remember that all of these shows are available on iTunes. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. Want to thank our guest once again, Ray Ramu with Saya and Bruce Sharp with BB&T. And a big thanks to our producer, Trey. And Stephen, some parting words?
You know, Mike, I think today definitely was another award-winning show, but it was more because of Bruce and Ray than it was because of you and me.
Amen, brother.
I
agree with you there. For Stephen, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.